See, today is the ninth Sunday we've been looking at the book of Colossians. And just really to have a quick review, way back 9 weeks ago, we thought in our first night or first morning together about the majesty of who God is. And really for a couple of Sundays, we thought about this. Again, where we're reminded that in Jesus, he is the image of the invisible God, the firstborn over all creation. For by him, all things were created, things in heaven and earth, visible and invisible. He is before all things, and in him, all things hold together. The majesty of who we see and find in Jesus, the image of the invisible God who came to earth as our Savior. But again, the mystery that comes from this, that the one who made and sustains the whole of the earth, who created and sustains, lives in you. What? This mystery that was kept hidden through the years, Christ in you, the hope of glory, the majesty and the mystery. If you've ever done the Navigators 2-7 course, again, it's the whole idea of maturity in Christ. Just as you've received Christ Jesus as Lord, continue to live in him. Well, how do you do that? Well, rooted and built up in him, strengthened in the faith as you were taught, and then overflowing with thankfulness. That it's not just a matter of full stop, I've come to know Jesus. It's the start of a journey of maturity in Christ as we grow in him. Not just our ticket to eternity, but it's the start of a journey of faith. How do we do that? Well, loving God with mind and heart. Set your hearts on things above, not on earthly things. Set your minds on things above, not on the things of this world. How do we do that? Well, let the peace of Christ rule in your hearts. Again, your heart, the word of God, your mind. Let the word of Christ dwell in you richly as we spend time in God's word, understand it, and then seek to live it out. We grow in maturity through mind and heart as we know God and as we love God. Last week, we thought about the message. Paul says, pray for us that we might proclaim this mystery of Christ, the one reigning in majesty who lives in us. And pray for us and then help us to let our conversation be seasoned with salt. You remember last week, talking to God about people, talking to people about God. Those five verses, chapter 4, 2 through to 6. Then we come to the last chapter. Following on in the last chapter from verse 7 on, is just names. And you think, oh, skip over that bit. It's like the book of Leviticus. But actually, there's so much, folks, we can learn here about being united in the love of Christ. Being united in the love of Christ. Paul, as he talks here and writes here, and actually, as we scan the New Testament, united as individuals. Paul was not the Lone Ranger, hi-ho, silver away. He was a team player. And actually, Steve Brady in his little commentary says this, in Paul's letters and the book of Acts, there are over 100 different Christians mentioned with whom he had contact. For he was a team player. He was a team player. The great, big, enormous turnip. No matter who you are, what size you are, what age you are, what sex you are, to be a team player. How does that fit and what does that look like in Ballywillan? I believe Ballywillan does this well. Some of my friends from Donegal were over a few weeks ago, Donna and Hazel singing, and I saw one nudge the other, and they looked up into the corner here in the balcony. And I said, what is it? so many people up with all the technology. I'm thinking, yeah. And behind the coffee bar counter. And singing and playing and stewarding. And everything that makes a Sunday happen. Team players together. We are united in our diversity as individuals. Paul also says united as congregations. He says after the letter to the Colossians, after this letter has been read to you, see that it is read to the church of the Laodiceans, and that in turn you read the letter from the Laodiceans, which all the commentators say is actually the book of Ephesians, because it's written from a prison in Ephesus where Paul is. And so, again, the triangle, Hierapolis, Laodicea, and Colossae, all very close to each other, but working together. Again, the great big enormous turnip. Let me read you a little poem. Because either we work together, all together, like the great big enormous turnip, or arrogantly we think I'm going to be the Lone Ranger. Steve Brady can't claim this, but Steve Brady in his little commentary had this poem. It's called The Indispensable Man. Sometime when you're feeling important, sometime when your ego's in bloom, sometime when you take it for granted that you're the best qualified in the room, sometime when you feel that you're going, would just leave an unfillable hole. Well, just follow these simple instructions and see how they humble your soul. Take a bucket and fill it with water. Put your hand in it up to the wrist. Pull it out, and the hole that's remaining is the measure of how you'll be missed. You can splash all you wish when you enter. You may stir up the water galore, but stop, and you'll find that in no time it looks quite the same as before. So the moral of this quaint example is do just the best you can. Be proud of yourself, but remember, there's no indispensable man. And in the form of equality or woman. All together, or the Lone Ranger. Paul says, united as individuals with different giftings and abilities, sizes and shapes and all sorts, but also working together as congregations, united in Christ, accepted in Christ. I'm going to go quickly here. Paul says, greetings from Tychicus, Onesimus, Aristarchus, John Mark, Jesus Justus, Epaphras, and Dr. Luke. That's just, how many for starters? 7. There's actually 10 names mentioned in the chapter. What's the point here? Tychicus, and Demas, sorry. Tychicus is described as faithful. Tychicus was the messenger for Paul. He was the email of the day. He was the one that was sent all those miles from Ephesus to the triangle of Laodicea, Hierapolis, and Colossae with the letters and send them back and forward. He was the faithful servant with Paul, serving the Lord. Onesimus, a faithful brother, but actually who was a fugitive. He was a runaway slave. And he was a runaway slave from his master, Philemon. And Philemon was a member of the church in Colossae. So the guy who had done a runner from him was being sent back. In the meantime, had come to know Jesus as his Savior. And he says he is now a faithful brother. So welcome him back and forgive him as a master. What did we think last week about masters? Treat your slaves well. You know, again, employees, employers. Aristarchus, fellow prisoner. Get this one. It would seem Aristarchus chose to stay in prison with Paul. Paul could have two companions in a Roman prison. And Aristarchus chose to stay in the prison with Paul to help him, to maybe go out and get messages and bring things back. But because of his love for Jesus and his love for the Apostle Paul, he chose to live in the prison. John Mark, a fellow worker, will pick up on him in a little while because he has a checkered past. He ran away from the Apostle Paul whenever they were on their first missionary journey with his cousin Barnabas. Barnabas and Paul fell out. Barnabas is the son of encouragement. But because of this boy, they fell apart. Their friendship parted company over a while. But it wasn't the end of the story. Jesus' justice we know very little, but he's described as a fellow worker. Epaphras was the founder of the churches in the triangle. He was the one who took the gospel from Ephesus, it would seem, where he bumped into Paul, came to know the Lord, and took the good news of the gospel to the triangle area. Luke the doctor, we read about him all through. We'll pick up on him in a little while. But Luke the doctor, I didn't know this. You kind of, when we think of a doctor nowadays, we kind of think, oh, a doctor, doctor. Our youngest lad's going out with a pediatric doctor, you know. And we have this, whoa. But actually, back in the day, nobody of high status in society would be a doctor. You have to touch sick people. And it was a job that was given to the well-educated slaves. Every day is a learning day. I did not know this. So when I read about Dr. Luke, I think in today's culture, and actually he was from a slave background. We'll pick up on him in a little bit as well, because what a mighty man. Demas, we'll pick up on him later too, is the one who falls, and we do read of him, and it's a sad story. Greetings from all these checkered people. The three in light blue are Jews. Everybody else are Gentile. And the other three names that come into play are also Gentile. Greetings to the brothers in Laodicea, the other church. Oh, here, can't be having that. Nympha and the church that meet in her house. An ordinary lady, but probably a business lady if she had a house big enough like Lydia in Philippi for a church to meet in. An Archippus. And it would seem that Archippus was the guy, whenever Paul was then away, that he led the Paul, or sorry, whenever Tychicus was away, Archippus was the one who led the church in Colossae. Send your greetings to them. Tychicus, when you take the letter, make sure you say, blessings to Archippus. People accepted from all sorts of backgrounds. Let's just go back there again. From all sorts of backgrounds, and yet united and accepted in Christ from all those backgrounds. But here's the thing. Committed. See, God has chosen to make known among the Gentiles all the glorious riches of the mystery, which is Christ in you, the hope of glory. There's neither Jew nor Greek, slave nor free, male nor female, for you are all one in Christ Jesus. But these names are committed in the service of Christ, aren't they? Scribes. Paul finishes the letter, last verse, verse 18. I write this greeting with my own hand. Again, the thought is that Paul's eyesight was really poor, and so many people were scribes for him. But Paul, John Mark, and Dr. Luke, I'm going to actually test your mettle here. Any notion of those three names, those three scribes? Can anybody tell me anything about them? Go again. They all wrote books in the Bible, Diana. They wrote over half the books in the Bible between them. Thinking, oh, hold on a minute. So Paul and all the epistles, all the letters. John Mark wrote Peter's memoirs, which is the Gospel of Mark. So it was written by John Mark. So young fella, say, checkered history, failure in his past, but yet became the scribe of the Gospel of Mark. Dr. Luke wrote the Gospel of Luke, carefully researched with so many sources, I think one of the biggest of the Gospels, if not the biggest, and also wrote the book of Acts, which is like Luke chapter 2, or Luke volume 2. And it's how the church was born, because he spent so much time actually traveling with Paul as well. So committed in the service of Christ, writing down the stories. Support, Tychicus, Aristarchus, John Mark, and Justus. Messenger, Tychicus, I am sending him to you, that you may know about our circumstances, and that he may encourage your hearts. Tychicus, the messenger. Aristarchus, Mark, and Justus, the moral support. Just somebody there on your shoulder to know that you're not on your own. They have proved a comfort to me. Folks, this is church being church. And as I've said, we do this well in Ballywillan. But it's what God calls us to be committed in the service of Christ. Epaphras, supplication. He is always wrestling in prayer for you, that you may stand firm. Always wrestling in prayer, whether that privately or corporately. Can I say, folks, again in Ballywillan, thank you for the encouragement of every other Wednesday night as a team of people and a ton of people begin to gather and the circle gets bigger as we come together to pray out loud or to pray quietly, but to be committed in supplication in the service of Christ. Folks, where do we fit into this? Just as we draw to a close, tell Archippus, see to it that you complete the work that you have received in the Lord. Paul is writing to Archippus and just saying, keep going. You're leading well. Keep going. Keep going. Demas, mentioned in the list, we read in 2 Timothy 4 that because he loved the world, he has deserted me and gone. Don't be a Demas. Because he loved the world, and we prayed earlier, folks, how difficult it is in the world in which we live that just wants to pull us away from anything that is good and right and holy. And I don't mean that as Ned Flanders here. It's just this is the world in which we live. Archippus, complete your work. Demas has abandoned us and gone. And I love this. Get Mark. Bring him with you, Tychicus, because he is helpful to me in my ministry. 2 Timothy 4, verse 11, the verse beside the verse about Demas. Get Mark. Again, folks, to reiterate the story, Paul and Barnabas are going out on mission trip. Barnabas says, can I bring my wee cousin with me? And John Mark comes. And a short ways into the journey, we don't know why, but John Mark leaves and heads for home. Tail between his legs, can't cope, too much too soon. We don't know why. And Paul and Barnabas, mighty force for the Lord, actually after this fracture and go their separate ways. We read this in Luke's book in Acts. They go their separate ways. And yet later on, get Mark, bring him with you, because he's helpful to me in my ministry. Failure is not the end. John Mark, as I said, wrote the Gospel of Mark, writing down Peter's words for him. But he pops up now later through many of the epistles, standing shoulder to shoulder with the Apostle Paul. Because failure, folks, is not the end. For you and I today, we are the body of Christ. Each one of us is a part of it. The great, big, enormous turnip. Are we playing our part? Where do we fit in to this picture and this story? United in the love of Christ. Because we love the Lord, we belong to each other. Whatever background or circumstance we're from, accepted by the grace of Christ. Question, are we committed in the service of Christ? I mean, just as the band begin to gather, just let those words sit on the screen for a moment. Ask yourself, what does this say to me? Do I know the love of Christ? Have I accepted the grace of Christ? Am I committed in the service of Christ? Here in this place, God's people together, youngest to oldest, tallest to smallest, whoever we may be.